Good morning, all. We're going to talk a little bit about waves today. It ties in with everything we've heard so far. Now, this is one kind of wave. I'll ask you to wave back, so this is participatory. Hi, everybody. Okay, that's one kind of wave. Okay, now we're going to do another kind of wave. This is fun. I don't think we've done this before. It's a stadium wave here, okay? So on this side of the room, I want to start here. And yes, I want you to stand up and do this. Okay? And yeah, let's move across. So it starts here, and then as the person here does it, then you begin when they end, all right? So here we go. Start here. And those of you watching on streaming video, you can do it according to time zone, okay? So here we go. Okay. That's it. Very nice. Okay. Good. Okay, let's do it back now. All right. Excellent. Okay, thank you. Well done. So other than being fun, what does that have to do with our topic? I'll see if I can tie it in. Okay, so Jesus, as many masters do, talk about the kingdom of God being within. And we hear all these things in there about the Ashvata tree and the tree of life, and how does that all tie together? It does. Ananda, which this is, actually is a word that means bliss, inner bliss. And it's the same thing that Jesus was talking about, that kingdom of God, that kingdom of pure bliss inside. The reference is, and I was raised Catholic, and I always, you know, talked about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and all this stuff. But it's interesting, Yogananda explains that the idea of the garden inside, the garden being our body, eastward in Eden, eastward was actually a term that was meant in those days to be looking forward, the forehead, in other words, looking this way. And eastward in Eden referred to the consciousness, the higher part of the brain, higher consciousness, where we see the spiritual eye, that symbol up there. It's a lot of esoterica, but it all ties together. So what we're saying is that our true nature, where we came from, where we originated, our Garden of Eden, is higher consciousness, ideally focused here. Yogananda said that one of the smartest things we can do practically is to focus our awareness here at the front part of the brain, higher consciousness. So how do we do that in practical life? Okay, so the idea of the waves here is that, I'm going to segue here a little bit, because there's an image that is fabulous if you've never seen it. There, 4 years ago, the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics were amazing. Probably, in my opinion, the most spectacular human production ever on the planet. So if you can, you know, get a Netflix streaming video that you can watch or rent it from the local video store, Opening Ceremonies 2008 Beijing Olympics. Why am I mentioning that? Because that was the most, among other things, the most incredible example of a wave. China, one thing they have down is being able to do things as a group. And to see a group being a whole bunch of individuals but doing something fabulously huge and amazing and aesthetic is really cool. We didn't do bad today, I have to say. But why is it that if our nature is true bliss, why do we not experience that all the time? Well, that's something that saints have been arguing with God about for a long time. But the main thing is not so much why, but what do we do about it? How do we experience joy and happiness? That's what we all want. So we get glimmers of it every once in a while. And, you know, the idea, as you'll hear later in our festival, is not to, the traditional way of religion is kind of bad-mouthing everything that seems good or positive and pleasurable and saying that, well, God must be found by suffering and sorrow. But fortunately, we're not in that place anymore. That was kind of needed at the time to sort of wake us up and shake us out of our, you know, kind of narrow ways of thinking. But nowadays, the way that we realize our oneness with things is by just calmness, acceptance, joy. And the image of a lake, as Graham read earlier on, or an ocean, that beautiful, still ocean of bliss that is God's nature. For whatever reason, God decided to share that bliss and create a lot of different waves. The nature of bliss is to want to share itself. You know, what was that movie that you saw recently that you really enjoyed a lot? What's the first thing you did or wanted to do? Is tell everybody about it, right? You like to share bliss. That's because that's our nature, that's God's nature. And for whatever reason, God decided to create this universe that has all these different waves expressing that bliss. And again, for whatever reason, to keep the show going, God decided to make all those waves think that they were separate from each other. That's called maya. That's a Sanskrit word that means the measurer, literally. It's like chopping up into little pieces that ocean. So instead of experiencing that divine ocean of bliss, we're under the sway of temporary delusion, thinking that we're just this little piece of it. And you've had that experience, you know, where you just really kind of get into me, myself, my worries. And doesn't it feel kind of tighter and tighter and smaller and smaller? And then somehow you have the experience that takes you out of that, where somebody comes along and asks you for help or advice. And you feel like you're kind of a channel of energy to be able to give to them. And suddenly you feel like you have a bigger perspective on things. So that helps us to, really Yogananda explained it as, we kind of think here, especially here in Silicon Valley where we're so energetic and get so much done, that the way to success is to build up our wave, you know, our resume, and to compete against all those other waves. I see Michael here, so to sign up on LinkedIn and to compare all our waves with each other on LinkedIn and ask him about LinkedIn if you want. And to just kind of, you know, show how towering we are. I know that's not the purpose of LinkedIn, but anyway, it's a good advertisement. So really what Yogananda said is that, okay, that's all right, but it sort of like emphasizes our separateness when we do that ego consciousness too much. What we really want to do is realize how similar we are to everybody else. And the way we do that is by letting that wave relax and feel the oneness of the ocean, calm acceptance and joy. God, for whatever reason, gave us this delusion where we get caught up in our own story. And we really do. I do. Welcome to my story. Oh, you're not really interested in my story 100% of your life? Oh, okay. But you're probably interested in yours a whole lot, right? But the more we can just relax, like I'm doing up here and looking at all these different waves on this ocean that we just did, and just to think that God is expressing in each individual one of us. Now, Yogananda described the experience of divine bliss as center everywhere, circumference nowhere. That's actually a scriptural description from way back, but he brought that back again. What that means is that when we can find our own center inside, it's the same center as everybody else. It's like if that wave, instead of thinking that it's just unique and different from everybody else and having to compete, if it realizes, wait a minute, this ocean water that I'm made out of is the same ocean water over here as Marley or Manisha. It's that same experience that they're having in their own unique way. And isn't it fascinating all the different ways that God is expressing all these different waves? I've been playing around with acronyms for wave, W-A-V-E, you know. So we start off, you know, when God creates us, to just go out and express ourselves out there in the world the way our body was created, actually, starting from the brain and then kind of fanning out into the senses. We're born that way. Our senses go out. They want to just reach out. But unfortunately, if we take that too far, we can get really caught up in, well, excitement, but not excitement that brings us true happiness. So the worst example of that might be, let's say, WAVE. So that would be wildly addicted to violent excitement. Wildly addicted to violent excitement. Okay, we see a lot of that around us. And that's one way of just kind of getting our energy going. But to be too caught up in that doesn't bring happiness. Then over time we learn that, well, wait a minute now, there's a bigger picture here than just me and my wants and trying to just get sensory stimulation all the time. You know, maybe I can tune in a little bit more to think that there's a purpose to it all. So giving Sunday service today kind of made me think that, all right, this is an experience, well, another vulnerability exercise. Wave, W-A-V-E. So we're up here thinking, okay, This may be comfortable, maybe uncomfortable, but maybe there's something to this. Maybe something for me to learn here. So that expands our horizons a little bit. And then we get to the point where we kind of learn to play with those waves a little bit, like a surfer. You know, a surfer doesn't judge that I want this wave, I don't want that one. Oh, this is terrible. The wave's not happening right now. You know, you've been out there to Half Moon Bay and seen them all just kind of waiting, waiting, waiting. But then when it comes along, they're going with it. They're cooperating with it. Swami Kriyananda just wrote a book recently, his latest book, that's called Cooperating with Grace. Isn't that a nice title? And he's intending it, from what I understand, to be a book that is not, you know, related to any particular faith or viewpoint. I don't even know that it mentions Ananda or Swami Kriyananda. It's simply a book to everybody, really, about how to cooperate wherever you are with divine grace. And isn't that a good example, like, of our wave? No matter where we are, whatever the ocean is doing, however the ocean is expressing through us, we're just cooperating with that, just like that surfer. So the surfer, for that WAVE acronym, could be watching attentively, very expectant. Okay, so just sort of waiting, looking for God, expressing in any way we can. And that's kind of where we're at. We're sort of at that point in our lives or where we want to be, what these services are all about, why we come here. Why is my life an expression of God? How can I cooperate with that more? How can I feel more joy in my life? Ananda, joy. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, the kingdom of God is within you. Meditation and yoga, as Krishna says, is the way where we realize that. And it's not that we're forcing ourselves or disciplining ourselves to do something difficult. It's just the opposite. When we get those waves to settle down, relax a little bit, we begin to feel that ocean. We feel our oneness with it. We feel that similarity with everyone else. And we feel joy in that. We feel, wait a minute, that's my nature. I came from joy. You'll see all around here these quotes from Yogananda's poem, Samadhi, which describes that experience of oneness with that divine ocean. From joy I came, for joy I live, in sacred joy I melt. So we experience that in meditation, and that doesn't mean that that takes us away from life. You know, we're in the image that people, you know, meditating on their navels, and it seems like, well, wait a minute, doesn't that take you away from reality? Just the opposite. When we feel our oneness with everything, then we let God express through us. We can enjoy that wave going up and down. We can enjoy the role that we're supposed to play, the dental office that we're supposed to run, you know, the job that we have, the family that we have, the elder parent or relative that needs our care, you know, the person that needs comforting. Whatever it is, we feel God expressing through that. And the more we're open to that, which meditation helps, because we realize, oh, that really is that commonality in every experience, in every person. Then we can begin just seeing that happening everywhere. God expressing through everyone around us, every circumstance. And the saints are like that, you know? The saints are not just dull people. The saints are just vibrating with ecstatic joy. And they want to share that with us. That's what Jesus, Yogananda, all the other great souls, that's what they're trying to do. And the way they say that we can really experience that just like they is to have that habit of meditating. And so usually we do that twice a day, morning, night, first thing when we get up in the morning, last thing before we go to bed. Sets the tone for our day. And then it helps us get centered in that again before we go to sleep. Finding that center in ourselves, center everywhere. We find that there's no edges anymore. There's none of that maya that separates us. We feel our connection with everyone. And we can let God express through us. And that final wave experience would be, what would that be? Wow. Another version of ecstasy. So this next week, think of what kind of wave you want to be. You know, which of that spectrum do we want to be inside? And the idea of Jesus saying the kingdom is within is try to, as we'll say in the Festival of Light that you'll hear next, try to let that nervousness or excitement or those vibrations of anxiety or I want this or I don't want that, just let those relax. Find that calm, centered place inside. where you can take a big breath, feel a sense of relief, and just feel that connection with everybody. Relax, know that God is really in charge, expressing through us. It's not our show that we have to control. We don't have to figure out this wave. We just have to flow with it. And in doing that, we recognize God expressing through everything. We feel that joy more and more and more. We feel the energy rising up in meditation, up that inner spine that we talked about in our reading, that river of life, up that tree, and flowing up to the brain. And we feel our source. That's where I came from. I am joy. God bless.